Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you are with us. And as the world turns or churns, we have cancel culture, which really needs to extend in terms of labeling cancel history, because that's what we have right now. The founding fathers, the framers, the heroes, the revolutionaries, everything about this country is cancel country. That's even better. Cancel history, cancel country. And it's the whitewashing of whiteness. And you are seeing many white folks lining up at the altar of Black Lives Matter, kneeling, confessing their sins, wanting to go through a purge or a cleansing. And it's absolutely absurd. So we have these deranged Dems, these psychotic progressives, these dictatorial Dems that are dictating to us how we need to live, who's essential, who's non-essential, what is news and what is not, what is terminology that's acceptable. So these are strange, volatile, and upheaval times that we live in. And I have to say that the prognosis, we already know what the diagnosis is because we're dealing with a deranged psychopathic pathology. But with Trump not being as strategic, as organized, as well prepared, he's all over the map. And so when you have an opponent like Trump, yes, he's a little bit unpredictable and unconventional, but he's just ill-prepared to deal with the demons. He's ill-prepared to deal with the lethal nature of these psychotic, deranged, demonic beings. He needs to be better equipped, better prepared to take on these adversaries. So we have a divided nation, and we have a nation that's under siege. We have a culture that's being canceled, and a history, and a country that's being canceled. So it's not just being changed, it's being canceled. It's not just being reinterpreted, it is being erased. That's right, we have an erasure going on. It is sickening, and it is saddening, but nevertheless, we gotta stand up. And we've got to fight back. And we do see this happening. Now, some people, I think their priorities are a little bit skewed. For instance, we talked in the last program about mask or going maskless. And there have been major protests in Europe, even within the United States, over being muzzled with a mask, being forced to wear a mask. Now, I'm just going to tell you that I think there's more important things than arguing over whether to wear a mask or not. The research seemingly suggests that wearing a mask does protect and does, at least in most instances, prevent the spread. But there are some contradictory studies. Now, one of the things you have to bear in mind is, like, say when you get a cold or flu or virus, and you know when you think you've gotten over the cold or flu, and then it reemerges or resurges? Well, many times you're reinfecting yourself because of the droplets, you know, on your fingers and your, you know, what you touch and how how cleanly you happen to be in terms of personal hygiene and keeping on top of those things. So imagine wearing a mask, especially if you're in a work setting, 8 hours or more and rarely removed. And then you're coughing, sneezing, breathing, gasping for air. And you're reinfecting yourself if, in fact, you have a virus or a flu or a cold. So there's that aspect. But I'm just going to tell you, and I'm not going to try to be Mr. Super Patriot or Super Revolutionary here as relates to mask, because in Philadelphia, the cradle of liberties, well, in name only these days, at one time it really was the cradle of liberty, as the founding fathers, city of brotherly love, well, never really quite was, because of the racial and political strife. But wearing the mask is sort of like wearing a seatbelt. In most instances, it will save lives. In most instances, it really does help to prevent injury and death. But there are times that people are been restrained by their seatbelt and they're unable to escape a burning car, or that it keeps them in place where the steering wheel and the impact actually causes greater damage. So, yes, could there be some issues with the mask? Yes. Are we really preventing a herd immunity? Yes. But back to me more specifically, in Philadelphia, we had the mayor, we also had the governor, that weighed in early on. Oh, actually not early enough on, because it took a while before the mandate of the mask, and there was a time where they reversed it on public transportation, because there was a scene where someone was being dragged off the bus, and it was kind of an upsetting video. But then a few weeks later, they did mandate mask, and wasn't just a guideline. It wasn't just a suggestion. So we do have this mandate mania running rampant. So what I do, okay, even though the mayor of Philadelphia and the governor of Pennsylvania has mandated mask in most settings, in most situations for most people, I was originally wearing, you know, that powder blue kind of what you see the nurses and medical staff wear. It was being given out quite freely. But it has this white gauzy material in the inside of those face coverings as masks that kind of makes you sweat. It's kind of itchy. So I said, okay, if I'm going to wear this. And again, I didn't really care as much about color coordination, fashion statement. It was beginning to irritate me. And so, I happened to go to Target, you know, one of many stores that I shop at so I discovered that they were selling, and I guess many stores are selling them, I don't know, but they had a package of two masks made of all cotton that was very soft. And if you want to go stylish, yeah, you know, they had black and they had navy blue. And so it was a little bit more subtle than the powdery blue surgical type mask. Well, it was only $4 for a packet of two, and they're washable. So that's what I did. And the main reason that I wear them is because I'm not really in fear, because my immune response is so strong. I don't have any pre-existing or underlying conditions. I'm not really concerned about my personal safety as it relates to this, because I also know about whether it's zinc or whether, I might not be able to get hydroxychloroquine. But there are, and I've talked about that in previous episodes, that there are certain vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, foods, superfoods, that can be extremely helpful. And so, and plus I drink tea morning, noon, and night. Green tea, black tea, white tea, herbal teas. I feel, and even though now certain stores, additionally, beyond, especially the larger box stores, chain stores, many of them have now come out and requiring nationwide mandating of masks if you're going to enter their premises. And let me just say that if I think that a private run store has the right to refuse service if they believe that is a health, you know, a public health crisis, a pandemic, etc. But I also believe that stores should be able to say, you know what, I'm going to cater those that masks are voluntary, suggested but voluntary. But they can't do that because, you know, for all this defunding of police, they want to use the police to arrest people that enter the premises of various business establishments that are maskless. So the madness continues. So for me, I don't want to offend other people. I'm not trying to make a political statement. I'm not here to lecture them about, you know, the effectiveness of masks or how the pandemic really tends to affect only certain specific at-risk groups more in a more harmful and more fatal way. So I've actually had people, like, when I wear the mask and I leave my home, I either have it strapped, you know, the bands that go around your ear, I either have it on my wrist or I have it loosely around my chin, maybe covering my mouth. And then when I walk past people, I just pull it up because I don't want to have a confrontation over something that really is unnecessary. But believe me, I've had confrontations in my life with the government, with individuals, with businesses, even with other talk show hosts, politicians, of course. So I don't mind mixing it up if it's for a just cause, if it is something that is beyond menial or beyond petty or beyond trivial. So I wear it out of respect for others, that might be more at risk or believe that they're at risk or will freak out because I don't have a mask. But I do know that people are taking this, the mantle, and making this, it's almost like their mandate is to go maskless to make a point. Now, as you realize, I added to one of the segments within the last program that Trump did start wearing a mask on a regular basis, actually suggested, because some people say it's patriotic to wear a mask. The media did lie. He did wear it on a couple occasions prior to the time that he went to Walter Reed. And then, of course, after that, at other, you know, talks and other meetings that he had and other tours. So that's how I feel about the mask. It's just not my priority. It's not my major fight. But I respect those that want to challenge that. But remember, we got an election, and we've got rioters, and we've got looters, and we've got just insane people that we got to fight.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Okay, we're back. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. I'm so glad that you are with us. And we're talking about mask-a-mania. We're talking about the mask marauders. We're talking about mass hysteria. And we can go on with mask and mask, whether it's M-A-S or M-A-S-K. But wow, we're living in a world of pandemonium as it relates to paranoia, as it relates to pandemics, and the peddling of pandemics, and the politics of pandemics. But I have to tell you that, unfortunately, the peddlers of the pandemic are winning out. And they are doing a better job of messaging than the Trump administration. You got to be consistent, and you got to be credible. And Trump, at times, only at times, is both. But most of the time, it's conflict, it's chaos, it's tumult. More so than triumph. And I'm just pleading with this administration, pleading with the president to get on top of things, to make sure that the messaging is consistent, it's credible. Now, sadly, another notable has lost their lives to COVID, to the China virus, and that's Herman Cain. Now, Herman Cain went maskless, and he was at the Tulsa rally, and he was at another function that Trump was holding, and we don't know definitively if that's how he contracted the virus, but that's how it's being messaged, that's how it's being manipulated, that's how it's being peddled and parroted. But nevertheless, it doesn't look good when you have a major media and former political front runner, and he was actually, for a time, the front runner when he was running against Romney and he was running against Huckabee. And remember the 999? Some of the media puppets and puppeteers, they failed to mention that he was a successful talk show host, not just an executive with Godfather's Pizza, and I actually was chairman of the board. He was also part of the Federal Reserve in the Midwest. Some people fail to realize that he was a board member of the, I believe it was the Kansas City branch of the Federal Reserve. And he was nominated by Trump to be on the Federal Reserve Board nationally here in D.C. because of, I guess, controversy, background, whatever. I think Herman Cain said, just pull my nomination. But Herman Cain not only ran for president and was a GOP front runner for a short time, but he was a local and nationally syndicated radio host that was reasonably successful. WSB is a major market station in Atlanta, Georgia. And he also was syndicated for a time. And he was quite popular. Now, he also, like Trump, you know, like Biden, like Clinton, had charges leveled, like O'Reilly, had charges leveled against him for sexual harassment. How much of that is true, I don't know. But the point of the matter is, or the overarching point, is he lost his life, and he was someone that was always an optimist, always very positive, was a powerful speaker and communicator in media and also in his speeches and in his interactions. And so I know that Hannity and Laura and various others have more or less eulogized or, you know, have spoken about their time with Herman Cain. He was also a Fox News contributor for a time. And there was talk that he was about to embark on another media venture, being not only a contributor, but also a host of a program for Newsmax. But it just doesn't look good the way the Tulsa rally got mishandled. And the fact is, it was quite a debacle. And right now, as you can tell, Trump's not doing any other rallies because of that failed venture. Well, I'm telling you that Trump has got to figure out a way. Even if it's streamed online, even if it's through Fox News or OAN, but he has to have a way of producing rally-like content, media content, presentations for the American people. Not just a tweet, not just a soundbite, not just a press conference, but he really needs to put on basically, Trump is an entertainer, and Trump can, you know, put out his message in an informative and an entertaining way by streaming online and or, you know, through cable, you know, through the cable news of whether it be OAN or, more importantly, and probably more likely, Fox News. But he's going to have to, and again, because he's getting so much negative publicity through news conferences, through sound bites, through media interviews that he grants, with the exception of Fox, that... And it's looking less likely that there's going to be debates. And I think it's crucial that Trump has debates with Biden to prove his points about how mentally defective and how politically contradictory Biden is in terms of his record, in terms of his current platform, in terms of the progressive, liberal, deranged, demonic, diabolical left stranglehold as being the puppet master of the puppeteers of the puppet, the manipulated one, Joe Biden. But Trump's, the deck is really stacked against him, and he's going to have to come up with I know that there was a shakeup with his campaign staff, even with his campaign chair, in terms of the media and the polling and just I think his name was Brad Parcell, but whatever, it goes beyond that. And also when you have Kellyanne Conway that has a husband that's a never Trumper, who knows what's being fed and what's being leaked and what's being given to the other side? Because I've never trusted her. I trusted her during that final month of the 2016 campaign where she knew where to place him. She knew where the votes were necessary and she did a really great job in that regard. I don't think she's a great media spokesperson. I don't think that she is someone that should be admired and as treasured as she seems to be with Trump. even though I guess she knows where all the bodies are buried, figuratively, for whatever reason, she can do no wrong. So that's a really odd situation. And we've talked about the Trump's turnstile and how he's gone through people and how many backstabbers there have been and betrayers. And it's just astonishing to me that someone that is a CEO, someone that is a corporate titan, is not better at picking people. So I do believe that Trump was, it was smart of him to start wearing a mask. I think it was smart of him to, it's kind of a little bit late in the game, but it's better than never. Timing was a little bit off. And then he kind of goes back and forth on Fauci and Dr. Birx, and I'm really glad that he took the stand that he did, and I think the correct stand on hydroxychloroquine. I mean, whether it's the NYU study, you've got infectious disease experts that are at Yale University and various other highly respected, highly touted, regarded, esteemed schools. So there are many studies, many doctors that speak volumes about the lives saved and the recovery rates and the rapid recovery when hydroxychloroquine is used in most cases. Now, you know, when they talk about these controlled studies, why can't we go back and look at the patient logs and the results and the therapies and the treatments, the outcomes of all these doctors in these hospitals that have used hydroxychloroquine? Why isn't that a better way to evaluate a drug's effectiveness, efficacious nature, than running a clinical trial of 10 people or 12 people? There's thousands upon thousands of people that have taken hydroxychloroquine. And in almost all cases, the results have been favorable. Yes, there have been a few isolated cases, isolated studies. And matter of fact, the Lancet, and that huge study that was very flawed, that was withdrawn in disgrace, that got the whole anti-hydroxychloroquine train rolling. And because Trump favors that, the CNNs and the MSNBCs and the Never Trumpers and the mass media parrots, that they cannot in any way, shape, or form lend any credence or credibility to any legitimate university study or any of the top doctors. And you saw what they did to the frontline doctors in their press conference. They singled out, which happened to be an African-American woman, African, actually, who became an American, that, yes, she has some peculiar spiritual beliefs. But it's okay to attack a woman of color, so-called Black Lives Matter, if she's not politically correct. Doesn't fit into the political box or check off the boxes for those that are anti-Trump. So yes, anyone that is in favor of hydroxychloroquine, anyone that questions the vaccines, anyone that questions the medical modeling, anyone that questions the methodologies, anyone that questions the political orthodoxy as it relates to the AMA, the FDA, Big Pharma, your persona non grata. You're going to be destroyed. Your reputation will be questioned, and you will be considered a heretic or a lunatic.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports, Putting America First, New World Order Dead Last, broadcasting from the Cradle of Liberty, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I want to say a few more things about the mask mania. And I knew we were going to get to a point where masks will be not enough, almost obsolete. So we have a situation where I know at some point they're going to have to examine the quality of your mask. Because I don't know if you noticed, but some people have bandanas. Some people actually have the surgical mask. Some people have masks that have a little, you know, air kind of valve that they say that is not a good mask to have, because even though when you're allowing the air to come in through that little chamber, the virus can get in too. Then with myself, I wear a cotton mask, you know, that I bought from Target. So at some point, they're probably going to have a uniform mandate of a specific mask that you have to wear, probably expensive, and probably profitable for Big Pharma lobbying group. But nevertheless, there's now talk that masks are not enough, and that we may need goggles, gloves, shields, and maybe even, you know, some kind of protective covering over your clothes, you know, like a spacesuit. So the whole thing is getting to be quite insane. On some level, I think masks make sense. But if you go beyond that, which is really the primary way that you would catch that, if something's coming through the mouth, the nostrils, and then if you're already washing your hands and keeping good hygiene, there really should not be any question that, yes, is there a possibility that it could get into the eyes? Yeah, but it's pretty minuscule. And I wear glasses anyway, so I guess that's my, you know, maybe that would be the same as goggles. But they'll say, well, wait a minute, it can get in through the bottom or the top. It's not sealed off. Could you imagine us walking around like, almost like a human condom? You know, having the, you know, some kind of protective gear. I mean, full body gear, space suit type. I mean, it would just be insane. But there's more and more talk that the masks are not enough. But it's sort of like certain taxes are never enough. Certain regulations are never enough. And I'm thinking about some of the things that putrid, pathetic Pelosi has said. And some of the news headlines that you probably have heard as well is putrid Pelosi is trying to rename the virus, calling it the Trump virus. She says the Trump virus is rolling like a freight train, the biggest failure in history. Well, Nancy dear, future Pelosi, I recall you strolling through Chinatown in San Francisco and criticizing the president for putting restrictions on travel from China, and that saying that there's no need for a mask. There's no need for panic and worry or paranoia. But that changed too a month or two after those photos and after those words that were uttered from your pathetic lips. So she calls it the Trump virus. Now, it's so ridiculous because we know that it originated from China, and we know that it is a China virus, and you can question the handling of the federal response to the virus, but I mean, if you want to talk about Trump and his name calling and his labeling and, you know, the way that he portrays people or describes people, labels them, then you've actually stooped that level that you could never criticize again. But, and also Pelosi, putrid Pelosi. And if you hear that from any other talk show host, they got it from me. There's no one else that called her putrid Pelosi. Okay. I don't know about pathetic, but that's another term that I use for Pelosi. And I've been a good labeler. And, you know, I'm a talk show host. I'm not a politician. I'm not the president. So I have always had the one-liners, the zingers, the catchphrases, well before most hosts, okay? But Pelosi is saying she's requiring, mandating masks on the House floor. And how about Fauci? Not only is he limp-wristed and can't even heave a baseball, but here he is throwing out the first pitch, and then he's off into the stands with friends. No social distancing. And the picture, they catch him, they capture him with his mask down to on his chin, with his mouth and his nose exposed and talking, socializing. So, and this is the same guy that at the very beginning said there was no necessity, there was no need, there's no urgency or requirement for wearing a mask. But Fauci can do no wrong in the mass mob media. You know, he's a protected asset. He cannot be questioned. Where did this guy come up with that he's the leading infectious, you know, viral expert? I mean, just because he works in that department, I don't see any scientific awards. I don't see any medical authorities. I don't see anybody that's bestowed those credentials on him. And if I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected, but I don't think I am. And I think I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on these so-called credentials. Now, Trump fired back, and he's also, I'm quite sure, my recollection is that he did call her Crazy Nancy before. So, and he's using that term because Pelosi and the House Dems are blocking the coronavirus aid. But Pelosi is attacking Dr. Birx because she has been, in her view, too amicable, too amenable, seemingly to some degree supportive of Trump, at least in terms of a cordial nature and relationship. And so now Nancy Pelosi says that she has no confidence. And it's interesting, the term that I'm using for her in this news headline from Fox News says, Trump says Birx took the bait and hit us due to horrible comments from Pelosi. And in quotations, Trump says, pathetic. So, who knows, maybe some information from my show, my podcast, has gotten to him. But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Trump has actually quoted TalkStream Live ratings when he's talked to Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh, and has actually said it on the air. So, you never know. I mean, he may be using the app. He might be on the website for TalkStream Live. I don't know, but it's possible. But anyway, Crazy Nancy, pathetic Pelosi, putrid Pelosi, had the audacity, the temerity, to actually call it the Trump virus. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm not even going to say it's the Pelosi virus because of her actions in Chinatown and San Francisco and her resistance to placing a travel ban on those coming in from China. And here's a person with the other Dems that do not want to call it the China virus. Well, where did it emanate from? And most things get named from its place of origin. We're not saying all the Chinese people. We're not even saying the entire nation of China. But that is the point of origin is China. I mean, that's indisputable. I call it the C virus because it could stand for China virus, COVID virus. But nevertheless, I thought it was important to bring that up. So here we go. We've got mask mania, and there's now talk that that's not going to be enough to protect us. Yeah, they really want to protect us. Sure they do. That's why they want to defund the police. That's why they turn a blind eye to the looters and the rioters and the murderers and the maimers and the maniacs. And then you have congressional and Senate hearings relating to Antifa and these professional agitators, and no Democrat will comment on either the Black Lives Matter, the organization, or Antifa. So the only protesters that would be considered violent are those that would protest from the right with no violence occurring, like with the Tea Partiers, with the Right to Life, various other, Second Amendment. Even with they have guns in a Second Amendment type rally, there's no violence. None. But look at Portland and Seattle and New York City, and there's a crime wave. I mean, it is out of control. And then look at the protestations happening now surrounding police officers' homes. Even the police chief of Seattle, thankfully, the citizenry there, some of them, came out to protect the property and the police chief. But it's gotten so extreme that even if you're a police officer and you're armed, or a police chief, you're under siege. How could that be? How is that even possible? It's unimaginable. So anyway, that is a wrap for this week. I thank you for tuning in. I appreciate all our great affiliates. I appreciate you, the listener. I appreciate those of you that stand by the president, that stand by our country, and by our history, and by our sacred documents, and that you profess your faith, and you believe in the American way of life. So I salute you. Till we meet again, I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports.
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Cautionary note. Just want to let you know that this was recorded after this segment aired. And I'm adding this because I'm not going to take credit for the fact that the president, I guess, was hearing from enough voices that it's not a bad idea to wear a mask, at least at times. And so the last day or two, there have been countless articles talking about Donald Trump wearing a mask. Now, the media got it wrong when they said the first time he wore a mask was when he went to Walter Reed Medical Center. And that's just completely untrue, because I had mentioned on this broadcast that he wore a mask more than a month ago when he was touring a factory that was actually making ventilators. I don't know if it was an automobile factory, but they converted over to make ventilators. It had to do with the National Defense Act. But nevertheless, he wore a mask part of the time when he was touring the factory. Then, of course, just the other day at Walter Reed Medical Center, visiting the injured warriors, he wore a mask. And then today, not only did he tweet him wearing a mask, but he also talked about the fact that wearing a mask is an act of patriotism. Wow. What a difference a day or two can make. Now, we know that President Trump concerns himself with polls, concerns himself with what people think, what people are saying, even though he may believe that certain polls are fake news. But nevertheless, he realized that he was not setting a great example, and there was an inconsistency in his administration's message and the fact that the president was not abiding by the administration's own guidance as it relates to wearing face covering. They love to say that rather than a mask. So here was the actual tweet that Donald Trump sent out with a picture of him with his mask. We are united in our effort to defeat the invisible China virus. And many people say that it is patriotic to wear a face mask when you can't socially distance. There is nobody more patriotic than me, your favorite president! Exclamation point. So I'm encouraged that the president realizes that this goes well beyond rankings and ratings, and that it's only commonsensical. I don't know about patriotic, but as it relates to just general hygiene, as it relates to health, shielding, protection, courtesy, as it relates to the interactions with others, then yes, I think it's a great idea. And I don't think the president has to wear a mask or don a mask all the time. But as you'll hear in this segment, I was explaining that, God forbid, that if President Trump were to contract the virus, his reelectability is diminished greatly. And of course, his credibility is at stake right now. And he's also bringing back the Fauci briefings. And so, he couldn't help himself, but he said, and we got great ratings. So Donald Trump is always concerned about image, ratings, popularity. But nevertheless, it's a good move. You know, even if he doesn't agree, which many of us don't agree with, you know, the medical czar, Fauci, the little dictator. The point of the matter is that it's a good idea to allow that information to be disseminated, and then people can decide for themselves. But I think the president is on the right track here. Glad to see it happening, and we'll keep you updated as time goes on.
The conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right. All the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.